Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name's Ruben Nava. My partner, Jess Romero. We are a two-man car. We're on Soul Patrol. Two former cops trying to give you some Catholic intel, some briefing to change your heart and minds towards those things of God, those things of heaven, and to give you some information so that you can pass on to your loved ones and be an apostle for Christ. Good morning, Jesse.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Amen.
Hey, Ruben, this is very important for you. I think the show today, we picked the topic about preparing for death and judgment. And I think the reason this is very important for you is because you just buried your beloved mother.
Yes.
And so you just went through the whole panoply of emotions with the wake, with the funeral mass, with the internment. Can you just share a little bit from your heart about some of the things that you experienced?
Yeah, Jess. Thanks for asking. My mom, as I mentioned on the last show that I did, was on Tuesday. She was a prayer warrior. She was an avid devotee of the rosary, scripture readings, and apologetics. She listened to Catholic commentaries and tapes and whatnot. So she was struck with the dementia and Alzheimer's as it was diagnosed. But what the Lord didn't take away from her is her ability to remember her prayers, to pray. And that was a beautiful thing to be able to see her praying even towards the end of her life. The moments before her death, she was praying. And so she was beloved by so many people. The church was packed. And it's a good-sized church, St. Felicitas and Perpetua in San Marino. It was packed. And then at the reception, we had a ballroom size reception with over 200 people were there. And she just was, she was eulogized well. And because she lived a holy life, she died a holy death. And I was so moved and touched by the outpouring of love for her it's just how it brought her family as close as we are. It brought us even closer. And, I couldn't think of a better way to honor her and give her the tribute that she deserved. And I know that she's praying for us now as we speak. I tell you this, the priest too, her priest too was he did well to make sure that prayers are still being said for her, as I did too when I said the rosary. Because only God is certain about where someone's soul is. It could be, I'm sure that if she had to spend any time in purgatory, then it would be short. But, the prayers are not going to go to waste. So we pray for her as we pray for all the deceased.
Yeah, and, I think Ruben, I've heard people say, obviously, we hope that our family members that have died in a state of grace, we hope that they're in heaven, but we pray as if they're in purgatory. Yeah. But we hope, the virtue of hope is always there. We hope that they're in heaven because only God knows definitively, but nonetheless, we pray as if they're in purgatory, and those prayers are not in vain if they're not in purgatory and in heaven.
That's right. That's right. So today's topic is perfect. I think it's fitting for the situation that we see before us. Death is always before us, Jess, and we have to think like that. That we have to live our life as it could be our last hour. And as I always say, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready, Jess.
You couldn't say it more perfectly. That sentence right there really encompasses the Christian life. What you just said. If you stay ready, and I mean stay ready with God, stay ready in your soul, stay ready, be in a state of grace, then you don't have to get ready, at the last minute say, oh no, I'm in mortal sin and I'm dying. No, 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 no. Just live battle ready. Ruben, there's an article that we're going to lean on here. It was written by Opus Angelorum. It's called Preparation for Death and Judgment. It's rather long. I'm going to grab some of the stuff that jumps out at me, and then we can go back and forth with some of these paragraphs, but I'll grab some of the stuff that jumps out at me starting from the first paragraph. It says, the most important day of our life will be the day when we die, for then we will personally meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and receive our just reward for all the good and all the bad that we've done throughout our lifetime. The importance, then, of preparing ourselves well for this day cannot be overstated. Thomas A. Kempis, he says, because the time will come when we will wish that we had one more day, even one more hour, to put our life in order. But how tempting and how deceptively easy it is to put off thinking of our own death. Our days are full. Life is distracting. At all times, there are so many other lighter, lesser thoughts to think about. And how true is the saying which says, we can look neither at the sun nor at death steadily. T.S. Eliot has a phrase. He's a great philosopher. He says that human beings can't stand to think about death for very long. And that's exactly what the article says here. St. Francis de Sales, he stresses that we must fear death without dreading it. That is, we must have a quiet, hopeful fear. For God has given us many things to enable us to die a holy death. That would be the sacraments of the church. And so, do not ask God for death and do not refuse death when it comes. St. Martin of Tours, he said of death, he said that he was quite without a preference of his own. He neither feared to die nor refused to live. Ruben, that's a good attitude to have. I've heard Father Zachariah Botos, one of the great evangelizers to Islam, he says when Muslims cut his brother's head off and they're about to cut his head off, they said, yeah, is there anything you want to say? And he looked at them and he said, for me, death is a positive option. And they said, oh, this guy's not afraid of death. They just let him linger in a cell for 3 months. They didn't kill him. He just looked at Muslims that cut his brother's head off. And he says, for me, death is a positive option. See, that's a good attitude to have. But we're not begging God, God, I want to die. I want to die. No, that's not our business to precipitate death either.
Right. That's a good way to look at it, Jess. You know, it's as you mentioned, and it goes on in the article. It says that in other words, we should pretend that our last hour is fast approaching. We ask our conscience, "What will I wish to have done in my lifetime?" Our answer, of course, must be that I want to be a saint.
Amen.
And we talk about that. We saints are not just something like an abstract thought. It's what we are supposed to be. Looking for, working towards, because everyone in heaven is a saint. They may not be canonized in the church, but they're saints. So,
and by the same token, Ruben, just because you're not canonized by the church doesn't mean you're not a saint in heaven.
Oh yeah,
we have to know. There's the Bible says there's, you know, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, multitudes upon multitudes. They'll never be canonized. The church doesn't have time to go through all the whole list. So, just it's important to remember. We want to work not for our BA or MA or PhD. We want to work for that ST right before our name.
Absolutely, Jess. And speaking of saints, I believe the Pope recognized a miracle by Bishop Fulton Sheen. So
praise God.
He could be on his way. So no doubt that he's up there anyway. So
yeah. I haven't had doubt for decades.
Yeah.
But we continue.
Yeah. So no matter what we may have accomplished in life, that no matter how important or powerful or rich or influential or famous we may have become, we will be miserable failures if we die and go to hell.
Wow, what a powerful sentence.
We all those people who attain mass bank accounts and properties and cars and whatnot, they can't take that with them when they die. You know, that you don't ever see a hearse pulling a trailer, you know, the guy's boat and his jet skis on it.
Ruben, that's a powerful statement you just read. We will be miserable failures if we die and go to hell.
That's right. And
sobering.
And you know, a lot of people were telling me, oh, your mom's in a better place. And she's, you know, I said, yeah, but now I have to persevere to finish the race also so that I may see her one day. You know, it's not enough that exactly. She got to heaven. It's, we have to work to get our, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We have to get there, you know, not, so, you know, and then.
Ruben, saying, that's important because a lot of people, they're at funerals and their hearts are moved and they're crying and stuff. And they have pious thoughts, you know, they have the virtue of hope kicks in. They go, he or she's in a better place. And I say, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the person died in a state of grace. I believe they are. I hope they are. Yeah. But the thing is, they're living wretched lives. They're living in mortal sin. They're saying, and in my mind, I don't want to, they're crying and stuff. I don't want to say, but if you don't get right with God and live and die in a state of grace, you'll never see them. Right. I mean, I don't have the courage to say anything at that moment. I just kind of let them grieve. But a lot of people, I say, you're not going to see your pious family members if you don't get right with God now and stay right with God and die right with God. You will not see them again.
Right. And by the same token, we have to work hard to get our family members to heaven because heaven won't be the same, Jess, if our loved ones are not there with us. You know, think about all your family members. Could you go through and say, oh, I don't want him in heaven. I don't want her in heaven. No, I mean, we want our loved ones there. We want them with us so that we can enjoy heaven and the beatific vision of all eternity. That was a fast first segment, and we are coming up on our first break. Stay with us. This is going to get good. You don't want to miss this. Preparing for death. Jesus 911.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Two-man car. We are on Soul Patrol, and we're talking about a very good article on preparing for death and death and judgment. And this is, we can't talk about this subject too much. I mean, this is something that we all need to keep in the forefront of our minds.
Ruben, I think this is the essence of Catholicism. This is the reason, the only reason to be a Catholic is a preparation for eternity, to prepare our soul for eternal life. I mean, this is it. This is where the rubber meets the road right here.
Yeah, absolutely, Jess. As we just mentioned, if we lose out on heaven, we've lost everything. And we should always, as the book of Sirach says, we should always remember our last end. So for then we will not sin. If we keep that on the forefront of our minds, you know, that, wow, this could, I go ahead and commit this mortal sin. I could die in a traffic accident on my way home, or, you know, or whatever. Just that fear, yep. That fear of God, that fear of losing all, losing everything. And also,
right.
You know, the imitation of Christ nicely sums up the attitude and approach we should take towards death. How happy and wise is the man who tries now to become what we would want to be at the hour of death? That's a good statement. A perfect contempt of the world, an ardent desire to progress in virtue, a love of discipline, a prompt obedience, the denial of self. I can say that enough. The denial of self. It's when we sin, we are saying, Lord, I want to do it my way. I want what I want. And even though I know it's against your laws, your commandments, I'm going to do it anyway.
Ruben, and that's the biggest dragon that we have to slay, is that denial of self. The saints call it, they call it having self-mastery. It's also called, in theology, disordered self-love. The big sin that most of us as humans fall into, we fall into, you know, sloth, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, avarice, pride, because the root cause is we have this disordered self-love. In other words, we love ourselves too much. And that's what right there, Thomas A. Kempis is saying in The Imitation of Christ. That's essentially what he's saying.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say on this section here is, because God will bring to judgment every work with all its hidden qualities, whether good or bad. And so we should always be prepared to die, for the day of the Lord will come upon us, as St. Paul warns, like a thief in the night. Wow. And
well, let's go right into the judgment now. Here's what happens the moment you die, in case you're wondering. Death is described as the separation of the soul from the body, because we are composite beings, hylomorphic beings, a body-soul composite. When the soul separates from the body, that's called death in the Catholic Church. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, quote, "Now when we die, we'll be judged by Christ, because the Bible says it is appointed for all men to die once, and after this, the judgment." Hebrews 9:27. So for Catholics, there is no reincarnation. That is not a possible category. We only get one life to live, and so we got to make the best of it. We got to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We got to love our neighbors ourselves. That will be a challenge for the rest of our lives. And we will be rewarded or punished according to how we've used the talents that God entrusted us. Here's what St. Alphonsus of Liguori says. Let me just filch a couple things that he says here in this article. He says that it's the common opinion of theologians that at the, and by the way, he's a doctor of the church, one of the 36. He says that at the very moment and in the very place in which the soul departs from the body, judgment by Christ takes place. And so we can say that in every room where we die, the judgment will take place. There the judgment seat will be erected. There we will meet Christ, the just and merciful judge. Nevertheless, if we've lived a good life, we have nothing to fear. For the church, as we can learn from the funeral liturgy, the funeral liturgy says this, quote, "It holds out for us the hope of the presence of Mary, the angels, and all the saints at this most decisive moment of our lives." So the liturgy funeral says that when you're dying, if you're a friend of God, that means a state of grace, Mary is present at your bedside. The angels and saints are present at your bedside as this cloud of witnesses. Goes on to say, "Now we ourselves at the judgment," that means the particular judgment when you die versus the general judgment at the end of time. "At the particular judgment, we will be fully enlightened about the consequences of all our good and bad deeds. Besides this, we will see in an instant all that we have thought, desired, said, and done in our lifetime. In other words, our whole life will pass before our eyes. So it is our actions, therefore, that we've done in our body in this life that will determine whether we merit heaven, hell, or a short or long stay in purgatory. Judgment then, talking about the particular judgment, then before the face of Christ is bound to come sooner or later for all of us. For those who have loved and served God in this lifetime, it will be a moment of indescribable joy. The long-awaited embrace of a friend with a friend. The meeting of a son with a much-loved father whom he has yearned to see. But for sinners, on the other hand, it will be a terrible encounter with an angry Christ. Death, therefore, may be a pleasant experience or a terrifying nightmare. And here in the article where it talks about, you know, for sinners, unrepentant sinners, to have a terrible encounter with an angry Christ, all you have to do is read the book of Revelation. See, a lot of people think like, oh, Jesus, a cute little baby from Bethlehem. I want to pinch his cheeks. He's so cuddly. Read about Jesus Christ glorified with his glorified, risen from the dead body in the book of Revelation, and you will see what this article talks about the angry Christ. It says his eyes like fire, you know, his feet like bronze, you know, a sword that comes out of his mouth. We're either going to see, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen sees, you know, the merciful Christ or Christ the just judge. And let me tell you, I certainly don't want to see Jesus the just judge because I'm not going to make it.
No, absolutely not. I can't even imagine to seeing an angry Christ. You know, that just brings chills up my spine. But we have to live such a way that's not going to happen for us. So live a good life. And now we talk about the death as a time of terror. As Jesse just said, in that if you die in opposition to God, you're going to be terrorized. And there will be a lot of fear going through you, trepidation. But there are four reasons why death can become a time of terror. And the first reason is that death can become a terrifying experience because of the assaults of Satan. The Catechism of the Council of Trent says, it teaches that at no time is the devil's attack more intense than at the moment of our approaching death. And St. Augustine says, the devil will accuse us before our face with all that we have done, and will state the day and the hour in which we sinned. And St. Gregory the Great says, consider well how terrible is the hour of death and how appalling the remembrance of our sins will be at that time. For the devils will recall all the harm they have done to us and remind us of the sins which we have committed at their instigation.
So it is Catholic teaching that at your bedside, the people that are about to die, you know, days, hours, and minutes, the devil and demons are there tormenting the person, especially if you're in mortal sin and you're unrepented mortal sin. All of a sudden, your conscience is being just being tormented with all your past life, with all the evil. I can't imagine that. But again, if you die in a state of grace, remember the paragraph before talks about Mary and the angels and saints will be there. So in the bedside, there's a cosmic battle going on. And the Blessed Virgin Mary promises in her 15 promises of Mary to the Rosary, and also in the promises of Our Lady of Sorrows, in those promises, she says that if you are devoted to her in this lifetime, she will be at your bedside fighting for you. I don't know about you, but I don't know any better backup than the Blessed Virgin Mary against Satan at my bedside.
That's right, man. You're calling 999, huh? The shot's fired, and you definitely want her there.
I want the 12-star general there.
that's correct. The devils will tempt their unhappy victim at the moment of death on various points, but especially in regards to the sins into which they have most frequently fallen. During their lifetime, they've cherished hatred towards anyone. They conjure up before their dying eyes the image of that person, rehearsing what they did in order to stir up the flame of hate towards that enemy or kindle it again. Or if anyone has committed sins against purity, they will show the accomplice of the sin and strive to awaken passionate feelings. If anyone has been troubled with scruples concerning faith, the devils recall to mind the article of belief which they had difficulty in accepting. If someone has a tendency to timidity, the devils encourage it so that they may rob the person of his hope of salvation. The man who has sinned through pride and boasted of his good works, they seek to trap by flattery, assuring him that he stands high in the favor of God and all that he has done cannot fail to secure him a place in heaven. Again, if in his lifetime a man has given into impatience, allowing himself to be angry and irritated by little things, they make his illness appear so burdensome that he will rebel against God for having sent it to him. Mm. So they won't have that resignation, divine, you know, of that it was willed by God. So finally, they tempt those who have led a godless life and have repeatedly fallen into mortal sin to despair. And it's often been said that despair is a greater sin than the actual sin itself, because you're looking at God as it's too big of a sin for him to forgive. Yeah, and it's not. So that sin of despair is as an even greater sin. By representing their sins to be so great as to be past forgiveness. In short, then, the devils attack us at the moment of death most fiercely, at our most vulnerable point, just as a skillful general will storm a fortress on the side where he perceives the walls to be the weakest.
Well, that last sentence says it again, Reuben, that the devils attack people the moment that they're dying. And this is why it is so important to be a mama's boy devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's so important to be a friend of Jesus, dying in a state of grace, so you can have the Lord, Our Lady, all the saints and angels at your bedside, and you can die a happy and holy death. Doesn't mean there's not going to be pain involved. I mean, there's usually physical pain because the soul's leaving the body. But nonetheless, I'll take all the pain that the world throws at me, but I don't want to be abandoned on my bedside from our Lord Jesus Christ and Our Lady. That's the point that we're making here, because the devil sees it's his last chance to go after you, and he does.
And we won't, let's not forget that we pray to Saint Joseph as well for a happy death, because I mean, think about his death. He had the Blessed Virgin Mary and Jesus at his bedside. I mean, what greater consolation is that? So
can't get any better than that. No. He died the happiest, holiest death. Outside of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
That's right. Remember, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, giving you some Catholic intel and some briefing on a very most important topic. Such as
preparation for death. It doesn't get any more important than this, Ruben.
No, that's what we live for. The most important day of your life is the day you die, Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, you go
the
ahead.
We're talking in the article, Ruben, about death as a time of terror. Let me grab this here. It says, but the devils do not always confine themselves to tempting us in regard to our chief weaknesses. For if they fail in one way, they attempt to succeed in another. And these temptations are of no ordinary type. Sometimes they are so violent that it is impossible to resist them, these temptations, without supernatural help. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of like water. You know, water, if it's blocked somewhere, it'll find another path to try to make its way, like, you know, rainwater and stuff. This is the way demons are, okay? They're blocked over here, okay? They can't tempt you here. They keep moving like water until they find an area that they can penetrate.
Yeah, good
analogy. And like the article says, without supernatural help, it's impossible for us to resist these temptations. But here's one of my favorite Bible verse cited in the article for purposes of men and temptation. 1 Corinthians 12:13, where it says, God is faithful and will not let us be tempted beyond our strength. Did you catch that? God will not let us be tempted beyond our strength, but with the temptation, He, God, will also provide a way out so that we may be able to bear it. I'll tell you, this is important because a lot of men, oftentimes, they fall into this effeminate behavior. They say, oh, I can't resist. I can't stop masturbating. I can't stop watching a pornography on the internet. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop smoking marijuana every day. You just sense this pathetic weakness, and that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that clearly that God will give us all the graces that we need so that we're not tempted beyond our strength. So let no man listening to this show say, I can't. That's a four-letter word, and that's not allowed here on Jesus 911.
That's right, Jess. You can't do it. That's not. We don't want that coming out of your mouth.
Right, exactly.
I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Right? Philippians 4:13.
That's right.
The devils then attack the dying. Here it goes again, Ruben, what the article's been saying over and over again. The devils then attack the dying so ferociously because they know that this is their last chance to steal a soul from Christ. And so they pull out all the stops and use everything they have in their bag of tricks. They attack us like a roaring lion, as St. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, for the devil knows that his time is short. Revelation 12:12. And here's my opinion. It's not the article. I believe that we're seeing an escalation of evil like we've never seen before in any generation, in any culture, in any civilization. I believe because the devil knows his time is short. I believe that the reign of Mary promised by St. Louis de Montfort, that the era of the reign of Mary is upon us. And so I believe that's why you see these attacks on the family, homosexuality, LGBTQ, abortion, infanticide, same-sex marriage, just one thing, socialism being promoted, big government, denial of religious liberty. I mean, it goes on and on.
Yeah.
Pornography. I believe the devil is much more vicious right now because he knows his time is short and the reign of Mary is around the corner.
That's right, Justin. Our Lady of Fatima predicted that there'd be an attack on the family, and we're definitely seeing it. That's amazing how a lot of people just don't see it. They don't put the clues together. You know, they don't see the evidence that has been going on for years and years, and it's here now, right before us, and more so now than ever before that we need to be on guard. The second reason why death can become a time of terror is because of the fear of hell. And as we say in our the act of contrition, because for I fear the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. That's part of it in the act of contrition. The dying come to realize for the first time in their life that they may be lost forever and will have to suffer excruciating, agonizing pain for all eternity. And this thought fills the soul with terror. You know, oftentimes that you talk to soldiers that have been into the trenches, and you know, they say there's no atheists in the trenches, because there's just that realization that they could be dying right now. They could be dying any minute.
Ruben, and there's also a lot of stories, both Catholics and Protestants that have had near death experiences, and some that were living a rich, wretched life. They saw hell, and they saw what was about to happen to them, and Christ had mercy on them and gave them a second chance to come back. I know there's a famous story I've seen. I saw the interview on YouTube with Mother Angelica, where this priest crashed in a motorcycle. He admits he was living a very very wicked lifestyle, and he crashed launched 40 feet in the air, came down. He was basically in a coma, went to the hospital. He was in a coma for I don't know how many days, but he says that he saw hell. And this priest now has made a complete 180, and he's a holy, you know, Saint Padre Pio imitator, Saint John Vianney type priest today. He says he saw hell, and Jesus says, "You are my priest, and you are on your way to hell. I'm going to give you a second chance." So in the Catholic tradition, there is a lot of people that the Lord, by his own, it's only by his grace, yeah, he's allowed them to see hell, and they say it's unspeakably terrifying.
Well, yeah, that's what the visionaries at Fatima, those little children, Jacinta and Francisco, and well, I don't know if Francisco got to see it. I believe it was just Jacinta and
Lucia
that saw hell. Little Francisco, he needed to do a lot of prayers, Our Lady told him, because even at his young age, she said he spent a lot of time in purgatory. Could you imagine? And he was 7 years old or 8 years old.
Is this microphone on?
Wow, what is our destiny? Yeah, man.
God help us.
We're going to be in purgatory forever.
God help us.
All right, so the third reason for fear is because of our sins. The dying person will feel surrounded and suffocated by the sins of his past life. And these sins, explains St. Bernard, like so many satellites, will keep him in chains and will say to him, we are your works. We will not desert you. We are your offspring. We will not leave you. We will accompany you to the next world and will present ourselves with you to Christ. You know, with friends like that, you don't need enemies, huh? It is true.
In other words, you're being tormented by your sins. I guess there's no better way of saying it. You're being suffocated by your sins.
Wow.
And you're like saying, gosh, I wish I could forget about this. I don't want to even remember these things. These things are right in my mind. I can't take them out of my mind. It would be like the ultimate migraine headache.
Yeah. And I would it's my opinion that those are going to be unrepented sins, because we know that when our Lord forgives us, those sins are blotted out. They're as far as the east is from the west. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. That's my understanding also from reading the saints of the church, that these are those unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sins that the person dies in. And they call it, the New Catechism calls that type of pain that they feel, it calls it perpetual remorse of conscience. You know, Ruben, the way you see people, we've seen it in jail, you know, like an inmate is so upset at what he's done that he has his hands on the wall and he's kind of like pounding his head lightly, his forehead on the wall, like going like this. You know,
yeah.
It's like he's hitting his forehead on the cement wall. Like, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe. That's called remorse of conscience. In hell, that's on steroids. It's perpetual remorse of conscience. It's about as acute as you can be.
And there's so much hatred in hell. So, you know, how many times have you heard people say, well, if I'm going to hell, at least I'm going to have good company. My friends are going to be down there with me. But you know what? There's no charity in hell. So you're going to be at each other's throat. Well, why did you let me do that? You know, why didn't you tell me to take a different path? And you're the reason I'm here. You know, there's all this bickering because they hate each other down there.
Ruben, I'm glad you said that because I think the average male, they have such a juvenile understanding of hell. It's such a Disneyland understanding because I've heard a lot of guys say, you know, when I go to hell, I'm just going to be with all my buddies. It's going to be like the county jail.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did you ever read that? Where did you ever read anywhere from the scriptures or from church teaching that hell's like the county jail? That's a figment of your imagination. I mean, who, like St. Paul said to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? Because everybody in hell hates each other. Like you said, They're all tearing at each other's throats. They all have full, complete, abject hate for each other. No charity. You're not going to be sitting in hell with a bunch of guys playing cards and doing push-ups and pull-ups and fist pumping each other and back slapping each other. That's such a juvenile infantile view of that's not the biblical, that's not the Catholic view of hell. No. Not even the Protestant view of hell, by the way.
They think they'll be down there watching a big screen drinking an old English 800, you know. That's not going to happen, Jess. Let's see what St. Alphonsus says. It's true, of course, as St. Alphonsus Liguori points out, that whenever the sinner is converted, God will pardon him, but God has not promised. It must be stressed, and hardened sinners will be converted to death. That hardened sinners will be converted to death. So,
yeah, so that's not promised.
That's not promised. So don't count on it that I'll get a chance to go to confession right before I die. On the contrary, he has often protested that they who live in sin will die in sin. You will die in your sins.
And he quotes Jesus. Yeah. Look, he quotes Jesus here.
And he says, you will die in your sins, as Jesus tells us in John 8:21-24. And St. Jerome teaches that of the 100,000 sinners who continue until death, scarcely one will be saved. And St. Vincent Ferrer writes that it is a greater miracle to bring such sinners to salvation than it is to raise the dead to life. Make no mistake about it, then St. Paul says, God is not mocked, for a person will reap only what he sows, and he that sows in the flesh will reap a harvest of corruption, Galatians 6:7. And so because of this, we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. Be right back. This is us getting good. Stay with us.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, where two LASD retired deputy sheriffs are giving you some Catholic briefing. And, you know, LASD used to stand for LA Sheriff's Department. Today, we like to think of it as leaving all sin destroyed. That's what we have our Lord and Savior, his promises that he's going to be there for us. And you know, St. Alfonso says that God wills only our good. God loves us more than anyone else can or does love us. And his will is that no one should lose his soul and everyone should save and sanctify his soul. And God has made the attainment of our happiness his glory.
Ruben, boy, what you just read there from St. Alphonsus of Liguori is very important. I'll tell you why. And I'm speaking specifically to men, because women are more in tune with the Lord than men are. You'll hear men say, and this is why we're doing this show, because we're trying to really speak to the heart of men, to pull your head out of you-know-what and to start thinking rationally and realizing that you're going to die one day. You're not an immortal being. You're not some demigod. The fact is, a lot of guys will say, well, you know what? I'm going to have my fun. I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I'll get right with God right before I die. Yep. Right before I die, then I'll get right with God. But I'm going to have all the fun, commit all the sin in this lifetime that I can, and then I'll get right with God at the end. Are you kidding me? That's the point of what you just read from St. Alphonsus of Liguori, who's a moral theologian and a doctor of the church. He's the one that says that it's very difficult for a hardened sinner to convert at the point of death. Almost impossible. St. Jerome backs him up by what you just read, Ruben, that of 100,000 sinners who continue living that lifestyle of hardened sin until their death, he says about one is saved. So that's fool's gold. Anybody who says, I'm going to wait till I'm in my deathbed and I'm sick and I'm old and I'm about to die, then I'll get right with God. That is about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And let me just digress real quick. I just want to mention that today in the church, we celebrate the feast day of 120 Chinese Catholic martyrs. The feast day of St. Augustine Zhao Rong and 120 Catholic companions that 200 years ago, they were arrested, severely beaten, and killed by the Chinese government. I just want to say, to all these Chinese martyrs, pray for us. Also, I just want to give a little bit of good news as we continue on this topic, is that important SB 360 piece of bill or legislation that was about to be signed, the Seal of Confession.
In California.
Yeah, it's been basically set aside. It's been tabled indefinitely. So effectively, I'm reading here from the Knights of Columbus, that the bill is dead. It says there are ways it could be revived, but it would require a substantial waiver of the Senate rules, which under the circumstances is not likely to happen. So kudos to all the Catholics that called up and blasted Sacramento with emails, phone calls, and letters, because Sacramento obviously heard the Catholics and they've scrapped this bill. It's basically gone into the ash bin of history. Yeah. And lastly, just want to mention that August 2nd and 3rd, I'll be speaking at the Church Militant Men's Conference over in Dearborn, Michigan. If you want more information on that, go to my website, jesseromero.com, to sign up, or go to Church Militant's website to sign up for their men's conference August 2nd and 3rd. Ruben, let's continue.
All right. Yeah, going back to what you were saying earlier about waiting to the last days of your life to repent. And it reminds me of this this black comedian that I heard one time, and he was saying, yeah, I keep seeing the First Baptist Church. I'm going to come back when I see the Last Baptist Church. You know that. I thought I'd throw that in there. That just, I never forget that line he said.
Ruben, here's also another important thing is that, I mean, there are a few people, like there's one in history that waited till the last minute and repented, but still you don't want to do that. And his name's Saint Dismas. Okay. You know, he was receiving the death penalty. We don't exactly know what he did. The New Testament doesn't tell us his crimes. It just says he was a thief. That's all. He was a thief on a cross. And he was obviously some type of hardened sinner that lived a life of debauchery. And he was saved at the last moment. But that's an exception. That's not the norm. According to, again, you know, St. Alphonsus Liguori, St. Jerome, not many people convert at the last minute. So, you know, don't be thinking, okay, I'll just pull a St. Dismas at the end. No, it's better just to get right with God now, today, and stay right with God.
That's right. Hey, Jess, we have a caller on the line. It's one of our devoted listeners, John
Mr.
Bedard.
John
Bedard. Are you on there, John?
John, you're on.
Good morning,
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yep. Yeah, I always say the devil will tell you a million truths just so you'll buy one lie. And I've been a little bit surprised at myself, at I'll just speak for myself, how angry I get lately with all the stuff coming out in the church about betrayal. And I had to come to kind of grips with it and put it into some kind of perspective. But one of the worst things that happened to me as I was being lulled to sleep by liberalism and modernism was that everybody's going to heaven. I think it's an absolute betrayal of the teachings of the church. You know, every time I went to a funeral, it was a canonization.
Right.
And if any men are listening, I sure hope that they're listening to you guys today, because if you gave a homily based on your show today, a lot of people would probably die of heart attacks. But anyway, I think it's a terrible, terrible betrayal of the truth. And quite frankly, there was a time when I think it would have put me in hell. So God bless you guys. I just always listen to you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Trying to put out the truth and being faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay. It's not our gospel. It's not our faith. It's his faith. And we're just called to be faithful to convey it accurately to the best of our ability.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for listening.
Okay. And let's go on. The fourth and final reason why death can become a time of terror is because of the fear of facing Christ, the last judge. How great is the pain of a child before an angry parent, as St. Alphonsus points out. But how much greater, he writes, will be the pain and confusion of the soul when it beholds Jesus Christ enraged against us for the insults which it offered to him during life. And so because of this, St. Bernard says that the soul of a condemned sinner will suffer more in seeing the anger of Jesus Christ than in seeing hell itself.
Well, I can't even wrap my mind around that statement, but it's said by a doctor of the church, so I accept it. I'm just, man, it gives me an intellectual Charlie horse.
Yeah,
let me pick it up from here. And I think the reason, he backs it up with scripture. The reason the soul of a condemned sinner is going to suffer more in seeing the anger of Jesus Christ than in hell himself. Look at the way Jesus is described in these two passages in his glorified state as the judge of the world. It's in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 15 to 17. This is Jesus, the just judge that a hardened sinner will see. Here's what the Bible says, quote, "The kings of the earth, the nobles, the military officers, the rich and the powerful, and every slave and every free person hid themselves in caves and among the mountain crags. They cried out onto the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of his wrath has come, and who can withstand it?'" Okay, so how does this Lamb that everybody's running away from, they're hiding in caves, they're hiding in little nooks and crannies from this Lamb. How does he look like? Revelation chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. This is Jesus, the just judge. Here's what it says. John tells us in this vision as he sees the glorified Christ. Quote, "The hair of his head was as white as wool or as snow, and his eyes were like a fiery flame. His feet were like polished brass refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. And in his right hand, he held seven stars. Seven stars, that means the cosmos. He holds everything in the palm of his hand, everything. And a sharp two-edged sword came out of his mouth. And his face shone like the sun at its brightest. I'm going to stop there. Have you ever tried to look at the sun at its brightest? It's impossible. I just described to you Jesus Christ in his glorified body, the way people will see him upon death. If you're in a state of mortal sin, that will be a fearful sight. That's going to be a hideous, terrifying sight. If you're in a state of grace, you're going to look at him and you're going to fall on your knees and you're going to say, my sweet Jesus, I'm finally home.
Right. You'll see the lamb as he is, not as you don't picture a lamb being ferocious like this description here in Revelation. So the appearance of Christ was so overwhelmingly awesome and powerful that St. John tells us that he fell down at his feet as though dead. And if this is the case with the great saint and apostle, just think how terrified people who die in the state of mortal sin will feel when they have to face the penetrating eyes of Christ alone and look upon the one whom they have pierced with their sins. Because it was because of our sins we put him on the cross.
Ruben, you know what's important here is John the Apostle was called the beloved of Jesus. You know, there's different scenes in the Bible where he puts his head on Jesus's chest during the Last Supper.
Right.
This is Jesus's BFF, okay? It is. It says, this is my beloved disciple. Did Jesus have teacher's pets? Yeah, it was John.
Yeah.
And John, when he saw Jesus in his glorified body in heaven, he almost fell dead of fright. And the point that we're making here, imagine somebody who was close to Jesus for 3 years that put his head on his chest and Jesus would call my BFF. Can you imagine somebody who dies as an enemy of Christ in a state of mortal sin when they see Jesus, how overwhelmed they will be?
Yeah. Hey, Jess, this is good stuff. We're going to be coming to the end of the show and we're going to have to pick this up on Thursday. It's too important.
We don't want to do a rush job.
Yeah, it's too important. People need to hear this stuff. And you can get a lot of this stuff. If every Catholic reads the last four things, heaven, hell, death, and judgment, I think it's a must read for all Catholics. And this all this stuff is mentioned in that book. So we'll be back on Thursday, God willing, and we'll finish up this article and give you some other Catholic intel. Thank you for being a part of the show and listening. And Jess, wrap it up.
Yeah, well, we're 10-7. We're off duty. And go out there and evangelize. Change the world. Take all this information, put in your Catholic toolbox. Get out there, become holy or die trying. And go out there and save souls. Two-man car, we're out.
That's right. Stay tuned for Gary Mashuda on Hands-On Apologetics on the Spiritual Dojo. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin most powerful radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.